Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Thank you for joining us on the nightly shir, shirenjoyment.com. Tonight's shir is dedicated as a refuah shlema to Daniel Mordechai ben Regina and Rachel Nachama Bas Miriam Ethel. Refuah shlema, refuah shlema. Kel na refana Allah. We hope that God willingly hear besuras tovos and that we go from strength to strength. So tonight's shir is on Parshas Pinchas, and there's a lot to discuss in terms of debunking one of the major themes, which is that Pinchas was a zealot. That's the way the common translation is provided, but I'd like to offer you an explanation as gleaned from the lens of the Kedushas Levi that puts a totally new gloss on the subject matter. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts lieutenants into the world, and these are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servants. And we also know that there's a discussion in Chazal as to whether or not. We know that Pinchas is Eliyahu. So Pinchas is one of those enigmatic figures. He follows a parsha of Bilam, where they say that Lavan's a Bilam, that his neshama went into Bilam. In this week's parsha, we learn that the neshama of Pinchas went into Eliyahu Navi. And so one of the topics I'd like to try to address tonight is why is it that Eliyahu Navi is invited to every single bris? And the second, I wanted to try to understand the legendary act that Pinchas had accomplished. And what was it that was so unique about what he had done that changed the face of the Jewish people, such that he was provided with a bris kehunas olam, that he was given eternal peace, abisi shel shalom, as well as kehuna. Especially since there are a lot of questions to be asked, because we know that a kohen that murders is no longer fit to bless the Jewish people. Here we have an instance of when Pinchas was not a Kohen, but after the act of killing Zimri and Kozbi, he became one. And then he was granted the beautiful blessing of Shalom, Brisi Shalom, as well as he became a Kohen. So I'd like to try to address those two points. The first is we have to first take a step back and look at the end of Parshas Balak, where the Medrash Rabbah comments that there were several miracles that happened when Pinchas approached the camp. First, they taunted him, and they said, Ben Puti, Ben Puti, you're the grandson of Ben Puti, which refers to Petuel, another name for Yisro, or the modern-day Pope, Benedict XIV, or whomever, John Paul II, he was the grandson, right? So the Torah lists out his genealogy in the sense that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen, he comes from the tribe of Levi, but it doesn't list the other side of the coin, because Elazar married Zipporah's sister, and so Moshe Rabbeinu was an uncle to him, or actually that meant that he was a brother-in-law. So Elazar and Moshe Rabbeinu were brothers-in-law, even though the relationship was one of a nephew. But it's fascinating that, you know, this is the daughter of Yisro, and so they mocked him, and it didn't stop him. Yikach romach biyado. And there's something significant here, but we'd like to further develop this narrative. After being mocked, we know that the plague, explains Rabbeinu Bachya, that killed 24,000 people up until that moment was only affecting Shimon. So clearly Pinchas, who came from the tribe of Levi, was a relative, but it wasn't his camp. And he could have easily exonerated himself by saying, listen, the people in Shevet Shimon have some issue. There's a lot of Misa going on, but there's a lot of death, and they have to rectify their own issues. But there was no one rectifying anything. And, you know, it went from 1,000 to 10,000 to 20,000, now it's at 24,000. So clearly, there kept on being an uptick, and something had to be done. So Pinchas took it upon himself to take a dagger and then go into the camp. So he had to pass the guards, and they did not see it. That was miracle number two. He entered into the tent where Zimri and Kozbi were, and we know that the halacha says that if someone comes to harm you, you're allowed to protect yourself and harm them. So that's number three, was that Zimri, who was a prince, clearly somebody who was very impressionable, strong as being a leader of a tribe of Shimon, aristocratic, and commanded a presence, was unable to defend himself, even though he had every right to do so. Pinchas was basically marked off as a dead person because he walked into the tent of Zimri. Now, Zimri had him, you know, he could have destroyed him. And not only that, so the next miracle is that he stabbed the two of them. They both died instantly. And then he's able to carry them out. That's miracle 4, 5, and 6, without being attacked by the guards, miracle 7, and then exit the camp and then throw them down on the ground, still holding them with one arm. And then that's miracle 8 or 9, and then turn to Shemayim and say, Al Elu Nivku'u Arba V'Esrim Elef, on account of these two people, 24,000 Jews had to die. So for this, the Malachim were very upset, and they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, you should kill him. There's no reason why you can keep this person alive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. The Kano is Kanasi. This person was a Kanai. The Lokilisius Bnei Yisrael, Bikinasi. I did not destroy the Jewish people, Bikinasi. So we have to now understand what the word Kinan refers to. So when we look at it on face value, we can say that it refers to zealotry. But this is a terrible definition. While it may mean that, we have to look at other instances of when this term was used. There's a question in the Tana Devei Eliyahu, and it's also quoted in the Zohar Kaddish, that Eliyahu Anavi asks, from where do I descend from? Which doesn't make much sense. Why would he ask this question? Because he descends from Pinchas. We know, and Pinchas descends from Aaron. So then that means he's from Sheva Levi, which means that he came from Leah. So that means that he's from Bnei Leah. And yet, he says that I am Mibnei Rachel. So how could he say that he's from Bnei Rachel? Because we find something very similar by Rachel. It says, Vatakana Rachel Ba'achosa. So if we translate this, does this mean that Rachel was jealous of her sister? Well, you can argue that point, but you can also say that there's another reference that says, Kel Kana Vinokim. Is God jealous of a person who takes two stones and puts them together and calls that a god? Or takes two sticks and puts them together and calls that a god? Or takes two pieces of paper or two paper clips and calls that a god? There's no Ein L'Davar Sof. There's no end to this discussion. Of course Hashem is not jealous. And of course, Rachel Imenu is not jealous. What Rachel Imenu was intimating was, my sister has such beautiful qualities. If only I can emulate them and become more like her, then hopefully, God willing, I too will be blessed with a child. And so she was blessed. She was blessed with Mashiach ben Yosef. And Leah got Mashiach ben David. And this understanding means that she judged her sister positively. And that is exactly what is happening in this week's parsha. Pinchas judged the situation in concert, in accordance with the way Hashem had judged the situation. And Hashem said this is clearly not the type of behavior that can go on unscathed. And so we know that the back end story to this is that Zimri brings Cusbi in front of Moshe, and he says, is she muteris to me? Is she permissible for me to marry? And Moshe is startled by this. He doesn't have an answer. And then he says, well, you married Zipporah. She was the daughter of Yisro from Midian. So then what's the big deal if I marry Cusbi, who is from Moab? And so obviously this is not an appropriate question to ask, because this happened, Moshe Rabbeinu and Zipporah happened prior to Matan Torah. And plus, we all know that Zipporah had converted. We also know that Zipporah had saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And there's so many other instances of where we see how Zipporah played a pivotal role in the development of Klal Yisrael. So she was an Isha Kishera. Over here, we know that because Balak was unable to destroy the Jewish people by his dibor, by his mouth, through the offering of 42 karbanos, which the word karbon, by the way, means krav nun, to draw closer to the 50 levels of understanding. And a karbon had always been used as a means of drawing a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since Balak and Bilam were both unsuccessful in bringing about a spiritual redemption. They tried to bring about what they know to be successful, which is inappropriate behavior in the practice of infidelity. So now we go back to this challenge point, and we think about exactly what had transpired over here. Pinchas judges the situation, and he says something must be done. And so he enters into the camp, and miracles are performed all around him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu silences the malachim, and he says, not only am I not going to punish Pinchas, I'm going to reward him with the brisi shel shalom, of peace. Why peace? Because at that particular moment, the 24,000 and one person stopped to die, and that person was brought back to life. So the magefa ended. Number two, when Pinchas came in to this tent, he did not bring himself to a point of where he was trying to embarrass the Jewish people. He was doing his best to preserve the nation, to preserve the Jewish people. And sometimes, in order to save something, you have to give up something. For example, if there's a leak in a boat, right, as they always say that analogy, and you have a beautiful ceramic sweater, ceramic coat, or so you have some type of precious metal that you don't want to give up, you need to plug that thing. Sometimes that has to get lost in order for you to save the people on the boat. So the same thing is true over here. Unfortunately, 24,000 people died. But Pinchas wasn't going to allow any more of the tribe of Shimon to die. And because, says the Kedushas Levi, he made his life, his very body, into something selfless. He made his body into something that was not even alive, meaning he walked in like a golem, because in a way, he was not even alive in a sense, because he was a dead man walking. Why? Because there was no rhyme or reason to explain how he can walk out of the tent of Shimon and how he can walk out of the camp of Shimon without being killed. So therefore, since he made his life into his very life into something that's tafel, something that's secondary to his neshama, which was striving to draw closer to Hashem, Hashem says, then you deserve eternity. And that's what Pinchas was blessed. He was blessed with eternity. And secondly, he was blessed with the kahuna, because when he did this, he exemplified the highest attributes of not being a mekatreg on Klal Yisrael, but rather someone who was seeking to defend the Jewish people in order to preserve the nation. And for this, he gets eternity. And this explains why Pinchas Ze Eliyahu is invited to every bris. There are so many different candidates to be brought to a bris. There's Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Avram being the first one to practice a bris. Why is it that Eliyahu Anavi is the one that is brought to a bris? And the answer is because we're telling this little boy of 8 days old that in life you're going to go through a lot of challenges. Not all of them are easy. Many of them are very difficult and very challenging to overcome. But you must behave and think like a Pinchas. In order to succeed in this world, you need to have a resolve. You need to know where your motivating and your guiding light is and follow that to the nth degree until you reach your full potential. That is the bracha that we're giving to this tiny yeled that's only 8 days old. Right now, you're weak because you're so young and you just went through an operation. But afterwards, when you get older, you get stronger, you need to have the presence and the sound of mind in order to behave like a Pinchas. So this is not something that we want to eradicate from the Jewish people. Heaven forbid, the opposite. We need to be able to judge people in a favorable way. In the same way that Rachel Imenu was able to judge her sister Leah, and as a result, be blessed with a child and then a second child, we also need to be able to bless other people with a favorable judgment. How oftentimes we may find someone committing a sin, for example, someone taking a car on Shabbos or using a phone on Shabbos, but we may not realize that this person may have to take an individual to a hospital. And it could be that he called Hatzalah, but the ambulances are out. It could be that there's no one right now to take this person, and he has no choice but to go in a car. The hardest thing for us to do is to judge someone in a favorable way. Because 9 times out of 10, when we judge, we always typically judge in a negative way. And we say, oh, this person, I don't want to be mashadach with that family. I don't want to marry into that family because this person did something wrong. But the fact of the matter is that we really have no idea what is going on behind closed doors. And we're better off not knowing. But when we do see something that makes us feel uncomfortable, we should try our best to be down lakavshos. And if we practice this behavior, we will certainly bring a lot more peace into the world, the same level of peace that Pinchas brought into his world at that particular moment. And that is something worthy of blessing forward. When someone has that frame of mind, that's the kind of neighbor that you really strive to see and strive to hopefully have, is somebody who always sees you in the positive and always can find ways to praise as opposed to efforts to denigrate and push someone down. So we learn from Pinchas to have a resolve to be the outlier in the sense of being able to judge someone in a favorable manner. And this is something that we take with us as we build the next generation. And at every bris, we welcome Eliyahu. It's in the same way that Pinchas brought about a Yeshua in his time. Eliyahu, God willing, will bring about the Yeshua with the coming and the announcement that Mashiach is finally on his way. We see correlations between what is written in the Torah's portion of Pinchas together with the Haftorah, the similarities of Bris and Shalom and Kahuna, and this is something that emulates throughout. So I just wanted to hopefully, you know, deliver this message. Hopefully it resonates well, and that, God willing, we should have Besoros Tovos, Refuah Shleima once more to Daniel Mordechai Ben Regina and Rachel Nechama Bas Miriam Etel. Everyone should be blessed with a week filled with Hatzlacha and Bracha. Thank you so much for joining.